Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Sans Pants Radio. I'm stealing cookies from the cookie jar.
Are you sitting at home wondering what the hell you're going to do this Melbourne International Comedy Festival because you're a fan of Nightmare Quiz Shows and Sans Pants Radio, but you can't seem to find a show that scratches both of those very unique itches? Well, listen up, bucko, because I may have just solved your problem. This Melbourne International Comedy Festival, I will be hosting a quiz show, affectionately titled Big Deal, where I take a bunch of comedians and Sans Pants people on the quiz show equivalent of that terrifying boat ride from Willy Wonka. Tickets will be available from the Melbourne International Comedy Festival website, as well as our own website, sanspantsradio.com/live. Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Shut Up a Second. I'm Jackson Bailey.
I'm Zoe Bellotta.
And I'm George DeMorellis.
And today's topic is Greg's.
Woo!
Hell yeah.
Greggin' all over the world.
Tell you the reason today's topic is Greg's is because I was like, what if today's topic was eggs? And then I was like, we've done eggs, let's do Greg's.
That's a good reason.
Eggs part two, Greg's.
Eggs part two, Greg's. Yeah,
I'd like you to go Smegs. That would have been weird.
there is a Greg. There's a shop in the UK called Greg's, which is like a bakery shop.
Oh.
That's what I thought you meant.
Well, I mean, I could have meant it. It could be any Greg.
Any Greg.
See, when I went to Greg's in the UK, everyone was like, because I love a sausage roll. Like, I get hammered, I have a sausage roll and a Big M. That's like,
yeah, you're not a like a kebab at the end of the night guy.
You're maybe more Australian than that.
Give me a sausage roll, sometimes two sausage rolls in a row. I remember once I was out, I was out with Cass, and we were going to go to this bar called the Nightcat in Melbourne. We'd been drinking previously before we went to the Nightcat, and I was like, okay, the night's done. I'll get some sausage rolls. So I bought two sausage rolls. Then we got in line and I had to down two sausage rolls at max speed.
That doesn't sound like fun at all.
No,
that's why you need a purse to hide your food in.
That would have been so good. On the dance floor, pull out a sausage roll.
I remember once years ago hiding it, not hiding, but like going to like a Hungry Jack's or a Burger King.
Yeah.
On the way home after a night out. And then in my drunken stupor, I was like, I'll grab some more. Because I'll order way more than I need because I'm fucking fucked. And then shoved the rest in my purse and then got home, crawled into bed, was like, wait! And it was the best hamburger I'd ever eaten.
Was it cold?
It was a little bit, it was warm, it was lukewarm. Half hanging off the bed so you wouldn't spill anything.
That's something, I don't eat in bed. Never eat in bed.
Oh, I love that's the only place to
too
eat.
Messy.
You just keep it contained.
Yeah, that's
you eat off the bed like Zoe.
You haven't seen me eat.
Hang
I'm an animal.
Your body off the side and just shove hamburgers
my
in your mouth.
My elbows are going to the side and I'm eating. You know, I want to be free. I want to be sitting there constrained. I want to be just letting loose.
It is nice to eat sitting at the table by yourself.
Yeah.
You know that feeling where you got maybe a book in front of you or your laptop and you got like a bowl
YouTube,
of cereal. Nutri-Grain?
I was saying YouTube.
Oh, YouTube. Yeah. You're like Nutri-Grain.
Like,
I guess that's as good as any. Sure.
When I'm alone at my house, I like to get the cat to sit across from me.
Okay.
So cute. I feel a little bit less alone. And what happened was, like, I
really to get a photo of that.
That sounds adorable.
Having a sweet time.
It does.
So what happened is that there was, I think, about a month where I was the only one at the house. And my brother and his girlfriend and my parents were all overseas. And so I just would always have the cat sit with me when I ate dinner. And then when they came back, they were like, why does the cat sit on the table while we have dinner now? And the cat still does it.
See, I'm dumb because I was imagining the cat on a chair.
Yeah, I was as well. I was exactly what I was thinking.
I put his little food bowl on the table. He's like, nom, nom, nom.
Yeah, but then, like, if you think about it for like an iota, you're like, the cat's head wouldn't even.
The cat doesn't make it so funny. The cat's head on the other side. They pull it like a dinner table.
What's great about that is that when your family come home, they're not like, what the fuck, the cat's sitting on the table? They're like, oh my God. Taught him to use a chair. What do you reckon is the worst food? Because I was thinking, you know, you put like a sausage roll in your purse or whatever. What's the worst food to bring into a cinema that is not like cinema food? Oh. You know, this practice.
Curry.
Curry?
Yeah, yeah, like something.
So smelly.
Yeah, something.
I love curry so much,
scent.
But yeah. It's a strong smell.
Oh, yeah, especially if you're watching a film. Like, that is odorous.
Or like
yeah.
pickled, like, herring. Just yeah, a can of
yes,
sardines.
Yes, yes.
Imagine
actually
sitting...
some sort of seafood. Is this seafood curry?
Imagine you're sitting up like
double down.
Sea urchin curry. I think that's probably the strongest.
You're up one end of the cinema and hearing that sound of like a tin being over and being like, what the fuck? And they're just getting hit with the herring. Yeah. Oh my God.
Would you say something?
I don't know what I would say. That's... Hello, cinema people.
Yeah.
I smell herring. Because yeah. Is it a crime?
It's not a crime, but I, like, Dusha has said, because I am the queen of smuggling food into the cinema, and
sure.
Dusha's like, it's just a dick move, because if you bring food in,
yeah.
it's just, it's a smell thing more than anything else.
Yeah.
So I'll smuggle, like, some cheeseburgers or, like, some nugs
right.
in with
yeah.
me.
That's yeah. fine.
And he's like, it's a dick move just because of the smell. So I guess you
can
pull the Dusha of whatever cinema you're at.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And been like, someone brought some stank food in.
I'm a big caller of the cinema people when things are going down.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Because right, I used to work there. I'm like, if the screen's slightly off, if the sound is off for 1 second, I'm out of my chair. Like, that's part of the movie. I'm like, I don't care, fix it. It's
just storming into the lobby. What the fuck?
Yeah. But, you know, is that,
no, that's fair.
It's a mistake and everyone's just kind of sitting there for a bit and
just,
no one
I
does
I don't know
anything.
If I've ever been in a cinema where something's gone wrong.
What?
Oh, I was, I,
you know,
me...
where like the screen at least is half,
yeah.
like
no,
half.
No, I don't know if I've ever experienced
well, the
that.
Sounds,
what?
Like,
the sounds,
yeah.
yeah.
We, I went to the cinema when I saw Thor Ragnarok. I yeah. went with best friend Christina and... There was a fire alarm going off during, and I was like, nah, fuck it, I'll die. Chris is like, should we leave? Or should we go? Like, what's going on? And I was absolutely adamant that I was not going to miss that film.
Oh, there's no point in...
Yeah, whatever.
Like a fire alarm is ever actually meant to
yeah.
fire.
Yeah, okay, and then
let's
2 minutes later, like, because you just see, wah, wah, everyone evacuate the yeah, fucking yeah. plaza. Wah, wah, and I'm like, nah, absolutely not. And the next minute, there was just like, cancel that. Everything is okay. Please go back to shopping. I was like, we're fine.
See, I don't have like fire alarm instincts. Like, if I heard one go off, if there was a big alarm now, I'd do shit all. Like, if there was like a,
I've
honest,
seen
that sounds
you
like the
fire
right instinct.
Alarm has gone off, yeah. and that is exactly what
my
happened.
Face remains exactly the same. But I'm bad with shit like that. I burnt myself on. See this on my arm, this scar.
Yes,
that's because I burnt myself on an iron. That's I just like leant my arm against it. There was like an audible tss, and then I was like, and I looked at it, and Adam was like, are you okay? I was like, oh, that hurts. He's like, why are you not reacting? I was like, I'm okay. Put it underwater. Once I was doing the dishes, right? Scalding hot water in the actual, like, the sink. Boiling. I had gloves on. I put my glove a little bit too deep. The water got in the glove.
Yeah.
And, like, my hand was boiling.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's not good. And I took off the glove, and Cass was like, put eyes on it. I'm like, it's okay. She's like, are you hurting? I'm like, yeah, a bit of hurt. She's like, do something. What's wrong with you?
This is confusing now. Okay, so are you incapable of feeling shock?
I think I'm not good at it.
Or are you so desensitized specifically to heat that you're not scared of fire alarms because you're like, I'm not going to feel anything anyway.
I just walk through the flames like Jesus on the water, baby.
It's coming out, skin's like falling off in yeah. clumps. He's like, I'm fine.
Jackson, are you all right, huh? Oh, this. I mean, it hurts. But... Well, it's very funny with fire because I remember a conversation that I had with I think it was with you, maybe?
Yeah, probably.
Adam and Zamet. And we were just in the kitchen and I was like, hey, you know that extra feeling you get when you burn yourself? And everyone, it was just like this pause. And they're like, what? And I'm like, you know, you're like, you burn yourself and you get like a sick feeling in your core. Like, it's just like an extra part of burning yourself. And they were like, that's shock. I thought fire just came with an extra feeling. When you hurt yourself with fire, there was just a bonus feeling. It turns out that's just shock. But my body registered it so wrong. It was just like, well, that's weird. And I was like, yeah, I don't know what the fuck that's about, buddy. Oh, well, it faded.
Look, I'm all for not knowing what the hell's going on at any point with your own body. I'm all for that. I don't know what's, I don't know, am I aching in my neck or my foot? I don't know. I'm with you. But have you ever felt shock at anything?
I don't know.
He just never has. Like, he's never registered that feeling before. So when it did happen, he was like, huh, extra pain.
Extra pain. Fire gets a bonus one.
Right. So you obviously must be one of those people that doesn't say ow when they like...
No, no.
Like, but it doesn't hurt?
But what about when you step on it, like...
A Lego.
No, yeah. Sometimes I stubbed my toe the other day and I was just like... I was like, it's just, it's never like a, it's more like a, ow.
Well, no, can bang your shin, you're like, ah, fuck. Like,
no, it just, I doesn't.
You know that one.
It doesn't come out that angrily. Well, there's none of that like, oh, fucking hell, oh my God. It's just like, ah.
I got shocked that an eyelash got loose yesterday and I'm sitting there rubbing my eye. I'm like, ah. Tom, it's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, it just got a little loose.
Sometimes Adam screams when leaves fall on him.
Adam is too strong. It's like you two are the polar opposite. Because I've seen Adam do that where like you'll just be sitting there watching TV and he'll be doing his own thing. And then you just hear like, ah! And you're like, what's going on? What has happened? He's like, oh, no, nothing.
just
clearly you could
just keep the vocal cords warmed
making sure I remember what shock feels like.
But clearly you could slam my head with a hammer and I'd just be like, hey,
rude.
Be nice. I think
more like you can't feel pain as much. Yeah.
Maybe someone should just slap me in the mouth and we'll see how I cope with it.
Done.
Ah! I can feel that one. No, what do you think is the most amount of food you could bring into a cinema before people complain? Like, surely there's like a limit.
Well, like, scene bringing in?
No, you gotta, I reckon.
You gotta smuggle it in. You gotta smuggle it in the same way you smuggle any outside food.
Let's talk about both, actually. Because if I'm coming in with... How much food do you have to be bringing in visibly before someone says something? Like, if I'm bringing in, like a turkey, a plastic bag full of turkey.
You're bringing a full sit-down roast, like a picnic basket.
Yeah, a picnic basket into the cinema. Is anyone going to say anything?
Well, George, you're the cinema expert, seeing as you've worked there.
Yeah, it is very much a depends on the person sort of thing.
Okay.
Like, if you're a dick about it.
It was like, yeah, exactly. Like, if you're walking in all cocky with your food, being like, it's technically not against the rules, then people would be like, well, we can still take it.
Hey, how about fuck you?
But even then, I'd probably be like, nah, respect to the picnic basket.
Imagine,
you know what, get a blanket set up down the front. Big space there. No one ever uses it.
We're going to make it nice for you.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Bring some candles.
Imagine I came in with a plastic bag full of, you know, like seafood helper, like the like gross fake seafood stuff.
You put in a marinara.
Yeah, do you reckon I could get away with that? Would you let me slide, George?
Look, it would be the smell that would make me go, sorry, man. Like, there's no.
What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? Come on.
Like, I'm eating anything out of a plastic.
It's making me look bad now. Whenever we hook you up, you just don't literally make a sign of it.
Yeah. What about you? Not nobody's seeing you do it, but you're eating it in the cinema.
Well, then this comes down to more shame.
Yeah. Where do you feel the shame?
My writer. He tells a story about when he went to see the second Twilight movie or whatever.
Good choice, Rides.
He loves the Twilight series.
The first one was good. I haven't seen any of
those. First one has a great soundtrack. I was thinking about that the other day.
Oh.
You know, it's got the song. I would chew your pay. You know that one? Anyway.
You really gotta do more than that.
apparently, when Ryder went to see it at the cinemas, he went with my mom, and there was a mother and her two daughters. They were all like maybe in their, well, not they weren't all in their 20s, but the daughters were. And they had snacks that they brought from home that were all Twilight themed. So they had like vampire cupcakes.
Oh.
They had like blood smoothies, presumably with strawberries and not blood. That's wild.
That's melon. Nuts.
Yeah.
It's just to theme your food. And like I was a teenage girl when Twilight came out. So I saw the crazy. I saw the crazy. My friend ripped out one of my earrings over Twilight.
What?
That is like straight up how crazy teenage girls got. So my what? Best friend Ellen, not best friend Christina, best friend Ellen.
Sure.
We're in a little squad. Cass is also there. Yeah. It's a little thing.
Yeah.
She was a massive fan of Twilight. I was not.
Yeah.
And I was like that shitty teenager that was like, fuck Twilight. Like Twilight's fucking shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had a shirt that I made that said Edward Cullen is not a real person.
Okay.
Because we had no uniform. I wore it like every second day. And the first day I wore it, Ellen saw it and went to go pull my hair. Because we've been friends since we were three.
Yeah.
She went to go pull my hair, but she grabbed my earring and ripped. And I was like, Fuck!
That story was so much more civil than I
know. Imagine. It was the most civil that could possibly be.
I was just imagining you two tearing each other apart.
No, she just went to go, like, jokingly pull my hair, but grabbed my earring. And I love to bring it up with her because I'm like, remember that time you ripped my earlobe over Twilight? She's like, stop it.
Well, I mean, you know, that's not that bad. It's an accident. Like, you know, I could argue that I have had my, I got stitches in my head because I wanted a light switch turned on.
So, sick, tell that story.
What?
So there you go. When I was in grade two,
yeah.
I was in the class. Oh, maybe I wanted to keep them off for some crazy reason. The lights were off.
You like
another
dark.
Student was sitting there.
Yeah.
And I think he was like, let's turn them on. And I'm like, nah, bro, it's well lit enough in here without the lights on. And he's like, nah, we're turning them on. I'm like, nah, man, I don't understand how the lights weren't turned on during this period. So then we started yelling at each other and things got heated.
Yeah,
as they do. And two other kids there who are like the bigger ones, you know, they were in grade two, but there's a few kids that are like they're in grade bloody four. Like, you know, they grabbed me. So I was getting quite into it, I guess. I can't remember who was doing what, but I had someone grabbing me by the arms and someone else by the legs whilst I thrashed around screaming. And then I flew from their arms and my head banged on the edge of, you know, like desks used to be like metal edged. And banged my head on that. And I got up and I was like, I was very Jackson about it actually, because I was getting up and I'm like,
ooh. Head injuries are like that, though. Yeah, it's not until you see the blood where you're like, no!
My friend still laughs about my reaction because of that exact thing, because I was like, oh, that was a bit of a dink on my head, or whatever. And then I put my hand down and looked at it, and it was like proper covered in blood. Like, not like dots. It was like the shining level of like just the whole hand, because that's how blood, like head injuries. So literally I looked and I'm like, and I started freaking out, and my friend goes, hey bro, what's the matter? You just banged your head. And he still laughs at me. I'll move the mic away for this because it was dramatic. I go, bang my head a bit. Look, blood.
Oh, that's fucking great. Oh my God.
Had a sense of drama at 8 years old.
Evidently. What a perfectly delivered line. Man, I was remembering the other day about primary school where when I was in maybe grade four, all of the grade six girls started a dance club,
ooh,
right? Where they would go and they would dance, mean, they would whatever. Do choreographed dances. And I was like, I want to be part of that. But I was the only boy and they didn't want a boy in there. But I went. I forced myself in because I'm like, I would like to learn to dance.
That's balls on you.
They hated having me there, though. And in the process, which the head girl was like, this is the dance we'll do. I was fiddling with my chair and I pulled the back off, which is something that happens with those like shitty. But they all turned on me and they were like, you're going to be in such trouble. You're going to get expelled because you broke that chair. You better fucking run. I mean, they didn't swear, but they were like, you better run. And I was like, maybe not even 10. I was probably like 7. So I just started bursting into tears. I was like, I'm going to have to go. I was like, is this me? I've got to go in the lamb now. And so I ran out of the school and hey, they got me out of the dance club. I never went back.
Those teenage girls, mate.
They would have been like 12, but they kicked me out. They did not want me in their dance class. Man, I'll tell you what. But then somebody a couple years later started a breakdancing class. And I was like, let me in. And then I couldn't breakdance. And I was like, I hate this. And I left.
You couldn't breakdance?
Unfortunately not.
Nah. I think what? I was breakdancing when I was 15.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah. What could you do? Wait. Don't tell me. First, here's possibly a word from our sponsors.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Additionally, if you're down in Melbourne for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, then I'm basically begging you to come watch Big Deal, a nightmare quiz show hosted by me and endured by a bunch of comedians and SansPants people. Tickets will be available from our website, sanspantsradio.com/live, so watch this space. Anyway, what could you do?
I can do the wave thing, you know, like...
Oh, my God, George, look at that. All right, pop it and lock it like a champion.
I can pop and lock. I can get the whole thing involved. And I could do, like, what is it when you put, like, your arm underneath and you're on the ground and you...
Oh,
like,
yeah, I know that one.
Yourself, yeah. Whatever that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could do that.
Can you do the worm?
Oh, can I? I think I've gotten close. But yeah, like, okay. Yeah, it's not actually that hard, the
no,
worm.
No. I did the worm. I can't.
The worm is something that I just remember in breakdance class in primary school. That was the number one, like, we were taught the worm first.
All right, guys. Must be pretty simple then, yeah.
Something else I remember, just remembering from high school, they're talking about like weird trends, is in grade 7 or year 7, all of like the cool kids were like, they were all beatboxing, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I remember
because cool. It's 2004,
exactly. Yeah. And beatboxing is literally the coolest thing you could do. Yeah. We're back, baby. Yeah. And they all of the like cool guys in the class. They had a deal with the teacher where if they did their homework or they finished everything, at the end of the year, they could do a beatbox performance for the class.
Oh, that is some
forward-thinking students. Like, these were the coolest students?
Yeah, they were the coolest students. Well, I think the deal was these kids would always be like... in like the back of the class.
Nice.
And the teacher would be like, can you please not beatbox? We're trying to learn math. A great sentence.
Yeah.
And then the kids were like, yo, teach, we're going to beatbox forever. This is where my money's going to be made. I don't need math if I'm a beatbox champion. And then he was probably like, look, if you do all your math, you can show off your beatboxing to the rest of the class.
Probably,
and they did,
yeah.
And it was fine.
Pretty well managed as a teacher.
Yeah, look, they did well. They did well.
So it wasn't like Of bad teachers. I remember in like year 10.
Yeah.
It's funny seeing the difference between teachers and how much they impact things. Like, the most distinct one ever was humanities, I think, in year 9, maybe. And we had the class in the first 6 months of the year, we had Mr. Barry, who was the most like legit teacher ever. Yeah. Like, he wasn't a
too
hard
legit
ass
to quit.
Yeah. Like, but like, he wasn't like one of those, because you get the hardest that you're scared of when you're a kid.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Oh, he's so strict and stuff. He was just like so, like, just good at keeping everyone in line and then teaching them and getting everyone inspired to learn.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was doing all that. And then he was leaving at the 6 month mark of the year and he left. And we brought in another teacher who is brand new. And like, there is a certain type of like middle aged lady who comes into an all boys school who is just woefully underprepared for what she's getting into.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, just woefully not in control of that wild rodeo. Like, I know girls' schools apparently are, like, psychologically fucked up. But boys' schools, it's like you just got to come in and crack that whip at
I would
the start
be so scared. I'd be scared to be a teacher in like, either situation. I don't think it'd be good for my
they're
mental health.
Too pent up.
Nah, definitely not.
Never seen a girl!
I would much rather the boys' school. The girls' school, I would not even know how to start that
situation.
You just
start crying.
Because
I'd
always be like, are you messing with me now? I can't handle this. I don't need these emotions. Wait, that came out weird. I didn't mean it like that. I meant in terms of confusing. Anyways. So this new kid again, she just wasn't in control at all from the start. And this class became, when I say a zoo, I mean like, I don't even, like you look back then, like, your memory is obviously exaggerating the scenario. Mm. Obviously. It cannot have been.
As bad as you recall.
Because we're talking like, not a word of what she said was even heard by anyone in the class. She would just stand up the front and just like say things and then everyone was just talking amongst themselves.
Yeah, you know when there's that teacher up in the front and they're just like, if I just say the lesson, then I sit down, eventually this hour will be over.
Yeah. It was like, and you see it because what happens is they break.
Mm. Like, yeah, I was just thinking that.
A
like,
few weeks.
There were like at least 3 teachers in my whole high school career that left because of the students.
Yeah, I
caused one of those.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, my year 8 class caused one of the science teachers to have a mental breakdown and she took a year off
then
came back. And then by the time she came back, my brother had started at the high school and she automatically hated him.
Yeah.
And the problem is my brother and I are so very different. My brother was so studious and so, like, really, really smart kid. Yeah. And I sat in the back and I fucked around.
Yeah, a lot.
And so my brother came in and he was just, like, so fucking ready to learn. He was like, just fucking teach me. Yeah. And she was like, nah, nah, the blotter. No way.
Man.
And
it's so hilariously petty from a teacher.
Yeah,
teacher,
so
an adult.
Petty.
And then when you look back now, you realize the teachers are, like, 12.
Yeah.
Well, it was super fucked up because what happened was that after me and, like, I never had her again after that. And then Ari had her a couple more times. And the first time, she obviously didn't disliked him from the get-go once she saw the last name.
Yeah.
But she mispronounced his first name in the first class.
What's his name?
His name's Ari.
Yeah.
And she pronounced it with a hard A. So she's like, oh, Ari. And he's like, oh, it's Ari, just so you know it's Ari. And she's like, don't you correct me.
Oh, my God.
And he was like, oh, my. And he's in year 7, and he's never had a teacher kind of yell at him before, and he's like, oh, my God.
So was he just...
No.
Was he just Ari for the...
No, so eventually she corrected himself, but then my mum...
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. And my mum tells the story of them going to parent-teacher interviews, and Ari's like, this teacher is such a just a fucking bitch.
Yeah.
I don't know why she's so mad at me. My brother also was one of those kids that was... too smart.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he was one of those kids that he was just not stimulated enough in class, so he would get bored and wander off and stuff. But he was studious.
He just gets...
I have a good one. I'm out of here.
I meant mentally, but yeah. So he would, like, finish early and then just... And so she'd always be like, he's never doing anything. And he's like, I'd finished. Like, so they're at parent-teacher conference and... she's going off at my mum, pretty much being like, Ari doesn't pay attention and Ari doesn't do this and Ari's, like, we've got a very big presentation coming up and Ari is not taking it seriously at all. He's not taking it seriously. And she's going on about how Ari's got this presentation and he's really not paying attention, not taking it seriously. And my mum, who has dealt with me but was surprised it was happening to her golden child, turns to my brother and she's like, what is this big presentation that you refuse to pay attention for? What could this possibly be on? And he looks at my mum dead in the eye and he's like, Colac?
What? Wait,
the town Colac. That's what his presentation had to be on.
What? Why?
I don't know. And so my brother was like, it's a town in, like, rural Victoria that he had to do a presentation on. And my mum lost it because she just thought that was the most obscure... weird thing to have to do a presentation on. So she starts cacking herself in the parent-teacher interview because she gets why Ari's fucking around.
Yeah, yeah.
And she looks back at the teacher and the teacher's like, this is not a laughing matter. And my mum's like, oh, but it is.
That's
Colac.
Which, fun enough, that is probably my favourite named sub-town in Australia.
Yeah, it's a great name.
Because Colac.
But there's, like, nothing so Colac. Bogan. It's such a
about it rolls rural off the
But there's nothing happening in Colac. What are you? What is your fucking presentation? You're like, Colac is a town? I don't know. Dave lives there.
Hey, Colac, I'm sure, has something going for
it. Look, yeah, I'm sure there's something good about Colac, but for the life of me, I don't know what.
Don't know why this year 7 had to do a presentation on it.
Do you remember those teachers?
She was fucking with him.
I reckon she gave him the worst one. Like, someone gets, like, Paris. It's like New York.
Egypt and
Ari gets Colac.
And Colac.
What?
Huh? Tell me the history of Colac, Ari. Chop, chop.
Harry Potter, hurry up.
Do you remember those like, substitute teachers that would come in and were just, like, the strangest person you...
Mr. Butt!
Mr. Butt wasn't a sub, was he?
Mr. Butt was a sub.
Wait. Oh. Actual name?
We had
his name was Mr. Butt.
Oh, okay.
I was remembering
how
there was
could
this...
you be a teacher with that name?
I know, it was good.
There was this woman that came into, she was a sub for one of our classes, for our drama class. And we all had, like, solo performances we needed to practice. And she's like, so what are you doing? We're like, practicing solo performances. She was like, no, we're going to do calisthenics. Calisthenics for 2 hours.
That's
and another
so
time,
good.
She came in to teach a literature class I was in. And my friend at the time was like, we hate this woman because she was mean and strange.
Okay.
And he was like, I'm going to go get Cokes. I was like, what? And he just left. He just walked out of the classroom. And she was like, come back. He's gone. Then, like, 10 minutes later, my friend comes back with a slab of Coca-Cola, and he's like, Coke for everyone. And we were like, you're like Robin Hood, bringing it to us, the merry men, all of your, or, you know, the townspeople or whatever. And the substitute teacher turns around, she points at him, she's like, don't you drink that poison in my classroom. But, like, the shrillest, most frightening...
Don't you drink that poison in my classroom!
It was like that, and we just panicked. panicked and everyone ran.
Because
we were like, what is happening? Why is she...
Everyone just ran.
It was like she lost her... It's like she snapped. We just... we. There's some people stayed behind.
And you said but you I was gone. Feel shock.
Well, in that moment, that was panic.
He peaked.
It's like you're getting burned.
Holy shit, am I on
Elf
fire?
Elf and I was like a fucking zoo when we tell these stories.
What the hell happened at that school? My God.
Many times you just wandered off and then you'd come back like 45 minutes later. You're like, we done?
Yeah, photography was like that. You could just be like, hey, I'm going. And the photography teacher would be like, okay. And
I used
you'd
to
leave.
Sit into photography classes because I had the spare. I had my spares at the same time all my friends had photography. So I would come and just chill in the dark room.
You'd just go. You'd be like, hey, I need to take care of something. And the teacher would be like, give you a thumbs up and you would leave for 2 hours and go do what you wanted. It was crazy.
I went to 4 year 7 class in Eltham High.
You're not a teacher.
I'm not a teacher. What happened is we were watching in media and we were watching Australia, the classic Baz Luhrmann piece of shit.
Is it that bad? I haven't actually seen it.
It's not bad great. And it's long. So I'd wandered off. I like just went to go pee. I was like, if I go pee, I kill 5 minutes.
Yeah, fair.
So I was walking back to the media room, and the media room was next to the music room, and the music teacher was just standing at the front. And I was like, hey, man, what you doing? Because I took music. Yeah. He was like, oh, just I got this year 7 class, and I'm not really keen on this. No,
what
like,
the
okay.
fuck is this class? Is this school to go to?
Everyone's pretty chill.
What's up, bro?
Yeah,
cigarette.
Pretty much.
Oh, man.
Pretty much. I was like just chain smoking at the front with him, and I was like, so what do you just teach, not teach in this year 7 class? He's like, yeah, you want to do it? And I was like, okay.
Oh,
and so I
God.
Went in and I fucked around for half an hour and taught some year 7s, and then he just wrote me a note.
I remember this story about a teacher who, when smoking was banned in classrooms, he was furious about it, but you could still smoke in the hallways. So he would teach the class from the hallway, from the door, smoking a cigarette.
What? When?
This back
Eltham
way
High
back
again?
In the day.
Yeah, it's always been Eltham High.
What a school.
That's a back. That's what a hilarious. How could you need a cigarette that badly?
I know. It's like an hour.
I understand.
Maybe as he would, sometimes he'll go outside and then keep teaching whilst having the cigarette and then come back inside. And
I'm looking forward to when it's like that cyberpunk future and we have fun drugs that you inject into your brain or whatever. I reckon I'll get into shit when that comes around, you know?
You're not into shit now?
No.
You basically got that now. It's called ice.
Yeah, we don't inject it into your brain.
You can.
Just run out of other places.
Yeah, start putting it through the eyeball. Yeah.
I suppose, but you know, like fake drugs in like sci-fi.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know that. Sorry, that's the shit. Like, let me just scan my face and have a hollow hallucination. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Again, it sounds like you just do acid, bro.
Acid's
well, this
so
stuff
analog.
Is in.
No, look, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. I'm excited for when the future rolls around. I hope I'm around for when the future gets Jetsons-y, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that is definitely not happening.
Yeah,
haven't you realized by now? The world is so much more depressing than everyone realizes. Population's going to stop growing.
Mm-hmm.
We're all going to just die.
It's sad.
It's going to get real boring and fun.
It's sad that...
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to say, I'm super bummed that we're not going to live long enough to see the suit that Jackie O was wearing. The
yeah,
day
that's
of the assassination, because that's gone into the vault and isn't allowed to come out till we all die.
When is it?
It's like 2150.
Yeah.
2150.
Something like that.
Why would something get put away for that long?
It got put away for 200 years.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because so she donated it to the Museum of Science or the Natural Art History Museum or whatever, and she was like, yeah, but it has to completely go in the vault for like 200 years.
Mm. I think the idea was so that like the Kennedy family didn't have to see it or something?
Yeah, so the people who were
witnessed
very closely related to him. So like his grandkids wouldn't
years.
See him.
It's rough that we'll be living in like a post-apocalyptic hellscape and then someone will be like, well, I mean, just open it up to like the wasteland.
I mean,
here it is. Jackie, that's cool though, because you know it'll be hermetically sealed somewhere. So if you want a sick outfit for wandering the wasteland, Jackie O's...
It's a disturbing waste. There's plenty of jackets with blood and brain matter all over them.
Yeah, but not JFK's blood and brain matter.
Exactly. You could clone
JFK. One good jacket for that.
Yeah, exactly. There's only one in existence. What do you think you'll wear when the world ends? What will be your post-apocalyptic outfit?
Ooh.
I like a lot of leather chains.
Sweatpants.
Leather chains.
Leather chains. No, I'm with you. I know. No, those chains that have the leather.
Yes, yes. Cool, cool. Sweatpants is good.
Sweatpants. No, I'm going for comfort, man, because I'm in jeans right now and I don't like it.
A poncho?
Just a poncho.
Yeah. Dig out under the poncho.
How warm is this future?
I'm imagining like a Mad Max style future.
A Mad Max situation.
It's great to imagine you running, carrying a weapon, running across the desert in just a poncho, and it keeps flicking up the back and showing your bum. Yeah.
The real downside of that.
Somebody looking through a binocular. That guy's just wearing a poncho.
I can't look away. No, well, when you run on sand, there's usually some flickage. So if you weren't wearing any,
that's true.
You'd be getting a lot of sand up the bum. Is all I'm saying. Like,
what an uncomfortable, what a cool tan you'll get. It'll be like a point.
That rule. That you think the poncho is so small. There's plenty of skin around.
For some reason, I'm imagining it just reaches just below your crotch. Your modesty barely covered, but just enough.
When I stand still.
When you stand still and there's no breeze.
Yeah.
Can't see, but in the wind and when you're running.
So when I'm running, it just looks like I'm naked with a scarf on.
But like at the end of the world, whatever. Yeah, I mean, no, you exactly. Might as well.
It's a free love, baby.
Yeah. Well, you just know you probably.
2118.
You're also just probably never going to meet anyone else who can see. And if I'm turning up covered in leather chains, which when I said it, I was imagining like linked bits of leather.
All right.
Which is just not an outfit.
I'd go straight to like a gimp outfit with some chains on it or something.
Imagine how hot you'd be in a gimp outfit.
Oh, but, like, so I mean, sweaty.
It could be nuclear winter. It could be cold.
That's true. You'll be in trouble with your poncho.
Jeez, I didn't say how thick the poncho was.
That's right? True. No matter what, your feet are bare. Unless you're in thick poncho and Uggs. That's your winter look.
Now you're just comfy.
So we could all year round in sweats.
Yeah. In my eyes, it's like that WOG matching tracksuit as well. Oh, so it's
that's
like.
That's good.
Bright red.
Are they the ones that can unbutton on the side?
Yeah.
Perfect for both seasons. Yeah. Both seasons.
Yeah, because it's either hot or cold.
And if you want to get it on the waistline, you probably don't have much time. So
yeah, exactly. That's
quick,
true.
Rip those pants off. Quickly.
I'm in trouble with my gimp suit. Just give me a sec.
Or you're doing very well in your gimp suit.
Yeah. That's true. Maybe quick, I'm already in the process. I could happily pull some guy's chariot in the wasteland, you know. Find, like, some warlord who wears a fucking, I don't know, like a Koopy doll as a mask. What are you, Koopy doll? Koopy doll?
Yeah.
Not Koopy Mayo. You know, like.
The reason I know that, I think, is from Legend of Zelda, Majora's Mask. Is the only reason I know what you're talking about right now.
There's a Koopy doll in it?
Isn't that like the pig face thing, or is that not?
No, hang on. Let me find this doll.
I don't know what I'm imagining.
K-U-P-A-I?
K-E-W. Koopy.
Okay, definitely not.
I'm just getting Koopy Mayo. Hang on.
That's Koopy doll.
Koopy doll. No, I'm just getting. Yeah, this. This doll. That yeah, doll as yeah. a mask.
No, the Bimbo's not. Doll.
Yeah, yeah, the doll from.
That's straight from a movie, isn't it? Look at that.
It's a real doll.
Yeah.
Anyway, my it's the warlord crazy. Who. Drives the
definitely
chariot.
Majora's Mask.
No, that's why I was so shocked. I was like,
be amazing.
I guess.
Would be absolutely amazing.
But no, I'll be like a gimp horse at the front of that. That's
fine. Oh, I'm so happy to be a wife.
Yeah.
In the like to whatever warlord has taken over.
That seems like an easy life. The plus, confidence. I might get water. I'm not gonna thrive on my own.
Yeah.
I love how you...
George is like pick leading the rebellion. And you're like, we're good,
George. I'm staying. I'm happy as a horse. I don't know.
It just could be
pick
worse.
Of all the survivors, yeah. And you think you're the best carriage puller.
Yeah, I think I'd be pretty
available.
Good. It's great to imagine you liberating me from the, like, Jackson, you don't have to be a horse anymore. I'm like, cool, I'll be your horse. Like, no, you don't have to be a horse. Yeah, well, you just jump in the chariot and I'll pull you around. I get it. You're in charge now.
Oh, you're like,
grass? It's like, no, go.
Right, George? This is what you want? Meeting
you're like
Zoe,
Grey
you're like,
Worm from yeah. Game of Thrones.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a Grey Worm. That's who I am. Finding me like, you're finding Zoe and you're like, how's Jackson? You're like, well, we're slightly de-horsing. Yeah. He walks on all fours, but we're riding him up. We're upriding him. And then eventually I'd be a man. I would, you know, sometimes I think it was a horse. Sometimes I think it was a man.
You're very conflicted.
More like a Greek situation, if anything.
Ooh, yeah, that's true. Well, I always see myself, who's that guy in Lord of the Rings that's whispering evil Worm things tongue. Into kings? Yeah, I'm that guy.
I mean, who?
Grey worm tongue.
There's a lot of worm.
So you're a worm boy.
I'm a bit of a worm boy. Absolutely. Yeah. But I just think that's the role I fit in, you know, in a wasteland, but also in like a fantasy setting is the slimy character that whispers terrible things into the king that the hero eventually kills as kind of a show of power.
Well, you've switched completely from a role of utter subjugation to really a quite sneakily in power role.
Yeah, but I'm never in power long. I'm like, oh, king, eat the peasants. And then the hero comes in and he vanquishes me and the king is free. You know, I'm happy to have that life.
I'm a maid in most situations. Like I'm like the handmaid to the princess that wants to rebel.
Oh, okay. Are you the one that helps or the one that tells the king the princess is about to
look Neither. I'm keeping real neutral. King.
I feel like that would be relevant.
Yeah, keeping real neutral through all things.
That's good. You're like the background maid. So there's the main maid that's like, helping the princess. Yeah. You are just...
just a maid.
Just there. That's just pretty good. Just a maid.
And so then when George comes and saves the day, you're the hero in this.
I didn't
You've
know
become
I
the brave hero, the brave knight. Yeah.
He's leading the rebellion.
Yeah.
When he comes and like I then don't have any stake, I'm like, whatever, man. I just want to do my job and go home.
That's true. You cut off my head and you're like, you're free, Zoe. And you're like, okay.
All right, bye. Yeah.
Whatever.
But well, then if he didn't win, I'd be like, okay.
Whatever. I'm still a maid.
It doesn't affect me.
That's rough.
I'm not asking for freedom. I'm just asking to not die.
I like that in both situations we ruin any like power or any good out of you freeing us from the rebellion. Yeah, it's going to be real frustrating on your part.
You would start questioning it after a while.
Yeah, you'd be like, why did I even bother?
I'm pretty sure it's better to make people free.
Jackson still thinks he's a horse. That's weird that I... because, like, surely I'm a slave to the warlord and I pull the chariot as a man.
Yeah.
It's weird that I've been like, no, I am a horse.
That's how you go?
No, like I must be a horse.
It's very Stockholm.
Yeah, I'm a horse. Woo, you know.
You still constantly base your whole personality on how people are treating you around you.
Yeah, I'm a horse. Oh, I'm a worm. No, I am a worm. Okay. I'm a worm living in the king's ear. You know you're a man, right? No, that's
big
not
worm,
true.
Can't understand you. Worms don't understand.
Worms don't have ears. Got a cool mouth. No ears. Anyway, time to bury myself. Jackson, please stand up.
Like just
writhing in the mud. Got to get underneath, George. Got to get deep in the mud. Come on, buddy.
This is just not working.
This is not what I want.
Why are you trying to save these people?
Gotta get deeper. Just like my belly poking out of the mud and my head underneath, but there's just bubbles where I'm breathing, clearly.
I never thought the apocalypse would make so much sense.
No one can see me. I'm
a
worm.
Are you a horse or a worm?
I don't know, George.
By the way, I don't understand what you're saying.
I can't tell. Anyway, Josh, you don't know. You don't want to talk to a worm. And then I wiggle away. Meanwhile, Zoe's just cleaning a shelf.
Whatever.
That would be one failed uprising, I would say.
We're not anti-uprising. We just don't care.
And on that note, I've been Jackson Bailey.
I've been Zoe Bellotto.
And I've been George Morales.
Catch you around, dirtbags.
This has been Greg's.
This has been Greg's, as you can obviously tell.
Thanks for listening. If you want to help support this show and all our other shows on the SansPants Radio Network, just head to SansPantsPlus.com and for as little as $5 a month, you get access to episodes early, all completely ad-free, as well as a heap of bonus content. That's SansPantsPlus.com.